Welcome to the Garden Girls Podcast with Amanda Thompson and Michelle Gervais. I'm Amanda, a garden designer, thing finder, Chicagoan, and the author of the books Kiss My Aster and Backyard Adventure. You can find me online at kissmyaster.com.
And I'm Michelle, garden writer, editor, and sci-fi junkie in northwestern Connecticut, and the author of the Design Your Garden Toolkit book and sticker kit. You can find me online at gardenygoodness.com. Amanda and I are both opinionated, rabid Gen X gardeners, avid thrifters, busy moms, and lazy bloggers.
Be sure to visit us on the Garden Girls Podcast Facebook page for alerts of new episodes and photos we promise along the way.
Thanks for taking the time to listen.
And thank you for being a friend.
Now on to the newest episode.
Daisy,
she's much quieter this time.
Don't you even. So, episode 3, our third episode ever, decoration is the theme. Every week we have a theme. The theme will end in the word, in the letters T-I-O-N, or, you know,
Shun.
It could be an S-I-O-N if, you know, we're having that kind of a complex week. And welcome to the Garden Girls. Thank you for being a frond. it's so loosely.
Are we going to get in trouble for that?
I don't see how we could possibly.
I hope we don't.
I don't see how we could possibly.
As long as we don't sing it.
We don't sing it, and there's actually no references to the Golden Girls in any other way.
Oh man, you just said it.
I think we're safe. Okay. I would say that no one's listening except they are. Thank you for listening. I'm really impressed with our numeros.
We have like 2 reviews now, don't we?
Oh yeah, I think we do.
Okay, we need more reviews because I can't even tell you. We love the reviews. I've read it like 5 times.
It makes me feel really nice because this is something that both of us are, we're busy moms. We don't need to do podcasts. Like this, squeezing this on top of everything else is kind of crazy. At the same time, I only really want to listen to podcasts.
That's
made
true.
By,
I don't want to leave reviews.
I only want to listen to podcasts made by busy moms. Like anyone else, I'm like, just hold it. Hold your tongue. Unless you have, you're spinning 300 plates. I really don't want to hear your shit. I really just want to hear from moms who are overwhelmed, parents who are overwhelmed.
There you go. And you went in a totally different direction than I did with that. I don't want to write reviews.
I was like, stop where you're going because I'm getting on my soapbox. I only want to hear from, like, I don't know. I'm doing everybody's laundry. I'm doing all the work. I'm doing all the stuff. And also,
you're not squeezing it in. We don't want to hear it.
Right. If making a podcast is your main jam, I'm not interested. So, So I'm here for you. Also, balls to the wall, busy moms, making this podcast for you to listen to while you're doing all the things.
Yay! Yay you!
Yay us!
Yeah.
So this is our third podcast. We've made 2 other podcasts. Last one we talked to Dr. Bob Lyons. And that
was
really
a fascinating story.
It really was. And I thought about it for days afterwards. I thought about all of it for days afterwards. It was really compelling. The first podcast was just me and you talking, and this podcast is just gonna be me and you talking. So we're gonna alternate, right? Yeah, alternate, or you know, we'll stack
maybe
the
not stick to a
yeah, stack that club sandwich.
Schedule.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Again, because we're busy moms, dude. We're just gonna do what we gotta do. Again, thank you for listening.
Yeah. Oh, well, I was gonna say you really chose this theme this week, and I was wondering why you chose it, even though I wholeheartedly agree with it. So why did you want to talk about decoration?
Because you suggested it and I wanted to be a complacent friend.
That was your idea.
No, you brought this up in the beginning.
What?
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
It was you.
Okay. Well, maybe I wanted to bring it up because I have some pretty strong opinions about
garden
decor. You do.
And I remember when we started talking about doing this podcast, you talked about the decoration podcast and all the things you were going to say. And you got like kind of puffy, like a little like poof, poof.
I think after this episode, everyone's going to hate me.
Well, I am certain that's not true because you're like the nicest person and you're, we're similar. You and I are similar, but you're like the nice me.
I don't know. Not this
and
episode.
I'm the mean Michelle, and you're the nice Amanda.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, we both have some strong opinions. I have something to say that is tough love too about decoration. Ooh. So
can you say it now? Or are we getting into it later?
I can't turn the challenge down. That's how much of a challenge someone has to make me and be like, that's right, I'll take it. Like, you didn't really challenge me at all.
No.
And I don't even, like, I thought I would probably work up to this. But here is what I have to say about decoration. Oftentimes, as busy women, often moms, we try to gain control of our yards by buying perhaps a piece of garden tchotchke or a small pot with a few plants in it. And mm-hmm. we add that to our landscape like it's going to make a difference.
It does not,
and that small stuff does not help you gain control. It helps you lose control.
It turns you in the opposite direction.
It turns you in the opposite direction. But I see it so often, especially when I go and do consultations at people's houses. I can tell so much from someone when I step on their property when they have all the little pots with the flowers and they don't have the big stuff under control.
Yeah.
I can tell that they have the time, they just don't. They don't know how, or the money's lacking, or that, you know, I can tell what's going on by how you're trying to gain control by buying tiny little things.
Because you think it's a distraction. It's really not.
Well, you're doing what you can do. You're doing what's in your control, but oftentimes the main things are, and I can speak to this because I have been this person. I am not so much anymore. I am not this person anymore, but I recognized it. I saw it for what it was and I stopped.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many cute little pots you have if everything else is going to hell, or you don't have good structure, or you don't have there's a dead tree laying there or something like that, which I have that too. So that is a harsh truth for a lot of people, because a lot of people really delight in those tiny details.
Yeah.
But
those details really are much more effective when you have everything else.
And oftentimes they need to be dialed back. Like, you don't need 100 tiny details. Like,
edit. It's all about the editing.
It is. And I'm a lousy editor, but I have an acre and a quarter, so I'll edit when I feel like it. Don't you tell me when to edit. You know, all these people have these tiny little pots. Like, almost every home consultation I go to, I tell them to throw away the pots that they have on their front porch and get ones that are like 2 to 3 times bigger.
Yeah, get like 20-inch pots.
At least 20, I'd say 24-inch minimum by your front door. At least. And everyone has these rinky-dink 12-inch pots by their front door.
And you'll have to water them less, too.
That's what I told the woman that I saw today. Well, I told them all that.
Those little tiny pots, you have to water them constantly. Right. You get like a 2-foot pot. It's like once every 2 days.
Soil mass tattooed on my knuckles, you know? Instead of hold fast, it'd be soil mass. Because that soil mass, it really makes a huge difference in your pots look, especially like right this time of year.
Because now
being fried out.
Yeah, my pots now, I have huge pots. I still have to water them every single day. Or if I come home from work and they're just all just about dead if I don't water it every single day.
I haven't watered.
And they're huge.
I haven't watered mine for a while, but yes. One thing I water all the time, I have to say, is my ornamental black rice.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about that later.
Good, because I am in love. Isn't that is best? Like the winter 2019.
Yep.
But I touch a bunch of people who only have tiny little pots and that's it. And blah, blah, blah. So we're done with my Amanda is the villain part.
Well, I spent years traveling all over the country visiting gardens, like hundreds and hundreds of gardens. So I couldn't help but form some opinions about garden decor. And I really had to keep those opinions to myself because they were usually pretty harsh.
Something that we both share is that we're both like the Russian judge.
Yes.
I judged a garden show once and they called me the Russian judge. And I'm like, yeah, you know, if I wouldn't want to put my name on it, then I'm going to judge it harshly. It should be like at least something that I think is, I don't know. I noticed that you're a tough
I'm pretty
nut
tough.
To crack. Yeah, you are.
I understand that gardening is an expression of yourself. But I feel like, and the things that you love, but I feel like people go overboard so quickly. There's a threshold where you get lost in all of the tchotchkes and the decor, and you lose your personality because you've just stuffed too many things in.
Your garden is very much like going to therapy.
Yeah.
And it's hard to see where you are without a little help.
Yes.
a little view in the inside.
And if that's you just don't like have... inside the house, we once in a while we walk into our house purposely and try to look at it with someone else's eyes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of shocking sometimes. You have to do the same thing with your garden.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I am usually really hard on my garden and I'm like, oh my God, this shithole. And my friends are like, amazing. It's got all this stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
They're also just really nice people and they could be blowing smoke up my aster. It's nice to hear. They're like, yeah, you have weeds, but you have cool things going on here too. And I can agree that both of those statements are correct. Weeds doesn't make, no amount of weeds can make bad design.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you agree to that?
Definitely.
Okay. Yep. All right. They're different. Having weeds is not the same as like not having a plant. So, all right. We hear something that we agree.
I've been to lots of weed-free gardens that are pretty depressing and boring, but I've been to a lot of gardens with tons of weeds that are magical and perfect.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, I've got it. I think imperfection is where I think people are afraid to experiment, afraid to make a mess, afraid that someone's going to disagree or disapprove.
Yep.
And I am pretty much over any of that. Like, I already know they disapprove and disagree. So why not? Hey, can I tell you something dumb I figured out this week?
Go ahead.
I feel like I am a seasoned pro. I still love the discoveries that I make gardening, but this is a pretty big one that I had no idea. I knew what I was growing was a native, but what I didn't know, and I know that you already know this, we all know what ragweed is. Did you know there's a giant ragweed?
What do you mean?
Oh, there's giant ragweed. It is 10 to 12 feet tall.
Are you not talking, talking about Japanese knotweed, right?
Nope. No way. What? It is also an ambrosia, which is, I believe the Latin for ragweed. I might be off on that.
I don't know much about ragweed.
I don't have the Latin. I could pull it up on my computer, but that's cheating, I feel like. I thought it was a Rudbeckia triloba, which is pretty dumb of me, but it got really big, but it was growing in an area with really great prepared soil. So I just thought like I was really awesome. And it was this plant and I couldn't ID it. But I knew. So I've been pretty much out of it for the last 2 weeks with hives.
Oh no. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if it was making you sneeze, but I remembered you had the hives.
It wasn't making me sneeze. It was making me miserable. And it gave me full body hives and I got it twice. And I have them. I had one in my garden, like in one of the gardens, because it looked really cool. And then those weren't flowers, were not Rudbeckia flowers. Those were just like ragweed flowers. And then I was like, hey, Google, is there a giant ragweed? And they're like, yes, there is. And this is what it looks like. And it's like, oh man, I have this on the perimeter of my yard.
Well, I'm glad you figured it out.
No man's land. Right. It's good to know.
Because you had the hives. Yeah. And you didn't know why.
I didn't know why. I had the hives. Not only did I have almost full body hives the first time, the second time I had a thick, I'm going too far. Stop me. I had a thick band of hives right at my, it could go too far, but I'm going to pull it back right at my like waistband for my pants.
Well, yeah. You're sweating there. It gets in there, rubs it around.
Oh yeah. Oh, good times. Oh, but it was like, it was just really miserable.
Holy cow.
So giant ragweed.
So did you pull it out?
It's actually quite pretty. Yeah. It's very easy to pull out, except that
did
to
you
touch
put
it,
on
you
a
know?
Tyvek suit to pull it out?
I have a Tyvek suit. I will do that next time. You know what? It was a problem when it first started, but now it's pretty much done. Wasn't really a big problem to pull it out.
Well, that's good.
So I have a few new hives, but not anything like I had been going
through. Is it going to pop up again next year?
Oh, there's no way it isn't going to pop up again next year. But now I know what I'm battling. And that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing with weeds is you got to know what you're battling. And I will not have a problem.
Because you can pull it before it flowers next year.
So easy to pull. And even though it got, I love big plants. I did not want it to be a foe. I wanted it to be a friend.
Yeah, no, it's a foe.
It was faux. Yeah, I had all the crazy plant person thoughts. Like, well, what if I just cut off the flowers? What if I let it? The crazy person things that I was thinking. Yeah, it is. 10 to 12 feet tall. Really gorgeous.
Speaking of, I know, and I just said nope. The Japanese knotweed. Is Japanese knotweed blooming near you right now?
We don't have any in this, like, where I don't see any day to day. But in Chicago, it's on the side of the highways and stuff, but I haven't seen it lately. My Fallopia japonica variegata is way done blooming.
Oh, see, I tried way. To grow that and I killed it. I'm like, I can't believe I killed a Japanese knotweed.
Well, it's not the same. It is, but yeah, it isn't.
No,
I mean,
it doesn't want to live variegated as badly plant, as the yeah. other one does.
No, it's actually a little bit, I find it to be almost
yeah,
fussy.
I think it's fussy.
So, and I love mine. It's one of my top five desert island picks, which we'll have to figure out a word, a T-I-O-N. Like, that's not even just selection.
That's not obsession. It's
vacation. Like the plants you bring on vacation.
Yeah. Okay, we'll figure that out because that would be a great episode.
Yeah, well, we got time. So where are we at with all of this?
Okay, well, let's see. Where do we want to go next?
Where do we want to go next?
Well, I have a list of garden decor, yay or nay. Is it time for that?
I think so.
We can discuss along the way. It doesn't have to be rapid round.
Yeah, I think it's going to go on. Yeah. On and on.
Okay, so.
The first one.
Yeah. Garden gnomes.
you're a
no.
No,
I'm not. I love
really?
Garden gnomes.
I'm so glad to yeah, know that about
well,
you.
I'm picky about garden gnomes, but I love garden gnomes.
I am exactly the same. I have quite a few garden gnomes, and they're all excellent. They're all vintage. I don't have, I have a few random new ones. I have a resin one that I'm usually
what?
Not for.
So we're going to talk about resin.
Ellen, yeah. No, we will. Ellen Wells snagged it for me at IGC. It's like a Day of the Dead gnome, and there's something about it
there
I
are
like.
Some pretty
and
funny
that's the
ones,
only
yeah.
one. Yeah, that's the only one that I have that's resin, but all the rest of them are like quite
I
vintage.
Have a metal one that I love, and it looks vintage, but I think I got it at Target, believe it or not, years ago.
Ooh.
And it was pretty cool, but I really love the big vintage gnomes. I don't have one yet. I saw one at an antique store like 5 years ago, and I didn't buy it, and I've been regretting it ever since. It was like $60, but it was gorgeous, and I really want it, and it's gone. But those are my favorites, the big ones that are vintage and faded and gorgeous. But
I have a handful of them, and they all live inside the house.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm afraid of further yep, degradation yep. because they're already just chippy yep. perfect. And I'm going to come clean to this. I don't actually have any gnomes outside.
Oh, I have one. It's kind of hidden.
But I have a lot.
I like to hide mine so
yeah,
you barely glimpse it. And then you see it and you're excited.
That's the important thing, I think, with all of this yes. is that you can't see any of it. I mean, you see it in the spring,
right.
but not in any... I used to say 3 or 4 steps in between at least, but now I'm like, you can't have two different things in the photo
yes,
frame.
Yes, exactly. That's a good rule. I like that.
Oh, I just thought I pulled it out
no,
of my butt.
No, I like that.
So that's great. Plastic dinosaurs are not on the list.
I love plastic dinosaurs.
But I have, they could be on the list. I really love them with hostas. Like what people are like, well, what goes well in the shade garden with hostas? I'm like, plastic
yep.
dinosaurs. They're like, that's not what I was going for. But it's a good answer.
Peeking out from underneath, it's like Jurassic Park. I love
yeah.
them.
I agree. And they're always easy to come by in thrift stores and yard
We're gonna
sales.
We're going
to
be a seething mass of contradictions in this list. I know we are. It's like, you
I
know.
Hope
yeah.
so.
We have a terracotta yeah. Dinosaur that, like your gnomes, I won't put outside, but it should be outside. It's this gorgeous brontosaurus. I don't know if it's called a brontosaurus anymore, is it?
They're all called something else. We're very
oh God, I'm showing my age.
Yeah.
yeah, so it's this terracotta brontosaurus, and it's the size of a huge piggy bank, and it actually is a piggy bank. And
I love it
so much, but I won't put it outside because I know it'll get ruined, but it should be outside, and I feel conflicted.
You know that we're, by doing this, we're really sealing ourselves to having to photograph all these
things
in our
houses. We're going to have to photograph every single
and
one.
Put them on the
we
Facebook
are, yeah.
page. Yeah.
Couple
yes,
of galleries.
That's right.
Gazing balls.
Go. Yes. I don't like old-fashioned gazing balls.
What do you
balls.
Mean old-fashioned?
Like the ones that they used to sell at Kmart when
yeah.
I was a kid.
There's new ones that you like better?
I have this photo that I snagged, I think, from an old, like, Chelsea garden show where the garden ball is, like, the size of an exercise ball.
Yeah, I love those. And was it glass or stainless steel?
It looked like it was glass, but it could have just been a really good paint job on an actual exercise ball. I really
like the stainless steel ones, but I don't like them on stands. I like them nestled into plants.
Well, I think I would like a gazing ball nestled into plants all the time. I think sometimes it's the stand that's ugly.
Exactly. The stand just looks cheap. And the gazing ball's fine. Yeah. If you just put it on the ground in between some plants, it's actually pretty cool.
But, of course, there's a but. I like the stand with a bowling ball on it. I think that's fun.
You're mixing it up.
I think mixing it up is the whole name of the game.
I think we might be in the minority about the bowling balls, but I love bowling balls in gardens. They're awesome.
I think they're amazing.
I know you do.
They make the best mulch.
I think they're cool as heck.
They really are, I think. I mean, I don't think you can go wrong.
I also met someone once who takes bowling balls and he glues pebbles all over the bowling ball, like long pebbles sticking out. So it's this big, jagged, pebble-covered bowling ball. And then he takes the thumb hole and just pops it on a stake. And it's really cool.
I like that.
I loved it.
You've seen the thing where they glue the pennies on the bowling ball.
I like the pebbles.
I'm okay with that. I like the pebbles
Pennies
better.
Are fine.
I think I'd like to see them. Pennies are fine. It's not the worst way to use, like, you know, $4 or a bowling ball.
It's fine.
It's fine. I just, sometimes I just look at it and I'm like, there's a perfectly good bowling ball under that I don't know. It just seems, it's not my favorite.
How about wind spinners?
Okay. I would say 99% of wind spinners are not for me.
You know what? I thought I felt that way. And then my neighbors way down by the river put up a huge, like, pretty typical one, but it's big, and they painted it like a cobalt blue. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know about that. And now I love seeing it. So I've changed my mind about them. It just depends on how you use them. It's from a distance. It's in a field. It's pretty cool.
Do you think it's because they painted it all one color?
If it's like rainbow colors, no.
I agree. I guess what I have this thing that's not a wind spinner. Maybe, I don't know. It's more of a pinwheel kind of thing. But like, remember the kind of plant? It's like again, Kmart. I'm going to go back to Kmart in the 80s very, very many times on this, because that's formative years in gardening. Mm-hmm. It was like a stake with it looked like a flower with, and it would go around kind of like a pinwheel, but it was in the garden section. My aunt gave me one that's like a Dracula's face.
Oh, cool.
And I just love it. She gave it to me as like a very cast off, like, here, take this because no one else wants
it. I love it.
Kind of thing. And
you still have it.
So,
I need a picture of that.
Yeah. It's really great.
Yeah. I don't know. We have a giant pinwheel that's made out of red, white, and blue plastic that we bought sort of as a joke for 4th of July. And we stuck it in the ground. And it's probably like a foot and a half in diameter. And it was kind of a joke. And now I kind of like it. And I haven't taken it down since 4th of July. So I'm conflicted about wind spinners.
I love pinwheels.
Yeah.
Like almost in any facet. I have some really great vintage ones my friend Julie gave me. And I got some big, big ones from like Five Below a couple years ago that I put in some pots that I just love. They're big. They're really substantial. And sometimes you have a pot or like an area that needs a pot, but you don't want to water or you can't commit to that space. And it looked really good. Just the pinwheel with really cool gravel
It
worked. Yeah. I thought so.
Speaking of containers in places where you don't want to water, I just like putting big empty containers in a bed.
I do, but usually when they're upside down.
Upside down, really?
Yeah, I don't leave them open. There's like a lacking or a wanting, but I like them upside down.
You put anything on top?
No, but in my shade garden when it was filling in, there were some spaces in between plants, and I didn't want anything showing, so I just put different sized terracotta pots on the ground upside down, and it looked really cool as things filled
Interesting.
In. So it was like a terracotta pot mulch.
Huh. Yeah, we need pictures of that,
and
too.
Also it was storage. Yeah, I don't have pictures of that. It was back in the day. Okay. But I can probably, how about this? I'll recreate the scene and then shoot it in like sepia.
Awesome.
Like, so
it looks
sepia
like you
filter.
Took it 30 years ago. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it looks like I did 30 years ago. The next one, I might need a beer for.
Fairy Gardens. Are you there?
Yeah, sorry. I almost just fell right off my chair.
So you don't like Fairy Gardens?
I do, if they're well done, and I want to be the one to choose whether your anyone's Fairy Garden is well done.
See, I have a big pet peeve about Fairy Gardens. I feel like,
I bet it's mine.
If you build a Fairy Garden, first of all, no resin. We'll get to that, but no resin. If you build a Fairy Garden, don't put a fairy in it.
Agreed.
That's just the most annoying thing in the whole world. Fairies don't want to be seen. You just build a fairy garden and wait for them to come and just hope that they enjoy it and accept that you're not going to see them.
I believe fairy gardens should be made from like natural materials, mostly by children.
Yes.
You know, I did some really cute fairy gardens for Backyard Adventures, and I had a blast doing it. I made a little dining room table. I got the dining room table at the dollar store, just little dollhouse furniture. But then I made a rug out of a leaf and little acorn pots, and I did a salad bowl, and there was salad tongs in there, and little cups and crystals, and I loved it, and it was fun. And
I think fairy gardens should be ephemeral. They should change. They should be made out of natural materials.
Yeah.
But the saddest thing is when you've seen someone make a fairy garden and then it starts to fall apart. And there's all these little bits of plastic laying around, and it's rained, and they're all scummy, and it's just so sad.
Yeah, I agree. And like the little fence that goes around the house, I'm like, fairies.
No, they wouldn't. They can fly. Like
the last thing. The last thing a fairy would have. I don't know, but I did put little doors on some of the trees around the yard. Hazel's bewitched by them. She loves them, and all I had to do is put the door on the tree, and she made her own story. And I think that's the important thing about fairy gardens is that we're not telling the story. We're setting the scene for a little kid to tell their
own
story.
You've got to leave room for imagination. You can't spell it all out.
I did work with a really amazing woman who said she built a fairy garden once and then had stormtroopers take it over. I think that's brilliant.
That's twisted.
Like, I mean, she told me that when I was just starting to garden, and I was like, I think I just had a formative experience.
That's awesome. No, yeah. We spent an entire day once making a fairy garden with our daughter when she was a lot younger, and it was so much fun, but we used all natural materials. Like you said, we used like a Dutchman's pipe leaf as a big carpet.
The cat was banging on the door in a way that it had to have been human. I can edit that out. Okay. So I gave Hazel a box of like plastic dollhouse furniture, some like wire, some pipe cleaners, and some old doilies, like fabric crocheted doilies. Yep. But that ended up being something to pick up.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend that. I did recommend it for a while, and then
it gets messy very quickly. And then you have to get down to your hands and knees and dig around and gather it all up.
Yeah. Do you know what I like more than a fairy garden? A slug garden.
What?
You just make like a condominium for all the slugs.
That's awesome.
Like, here's your duplex, Mr. Slug. Here's your carpet. Here's everything. Just stay here.
Don't go anywhere else.
That's right. Which actually I think leads us naturally to the next one, which is birdhouses. How could anyone be anti-birdhouse?
I don't think anyone could. What's wrong with a birdhouse?
There's better. Some birdhouses are better than
others.
But
I've never seen a truly bad birdhouse.
I agree. I think birdhouses are rad. Yeah. And I think they're such good gifts.
They are.
I mean, who's going to be like, nope, no thanks for the birdhouse? No, birdhouses or bird feeders.
Well, yeah. I don't know, bird feeders. I'm annoyed by the mess of bird feeders. I want to feed the birds. I love seeing the birds. But why can't they invent a bird feeder that has a cone underneath it that collects all the stuff that the stupid birds just toss willy-nilly?
They're so really messy. My whole yard is a bird feeder, so I don't really feel bad about that. But also, whereas every birdhouse is usually cute, almost every bird feeder is usually not cute. Yeah. They need to do some, there needs to be some kind of research and development.
Yeah,
there.
They're not attractive. Right. They're not subtle.
They're not, they're usually really plasticky, yeah, or really
metal.
Like, I don't know.
Well, I think they get overtaken by the need to be squirrel proof.
Yeah, good luck with that, right?
But yeah, the whole birds being messy thing, I feel like such a parent. I'm like, I paid good money for that food. And they're just tossing it around.
You're like, hey, kids, get off my lawn. Yes. With the. Yeah, I did this summer. I refilled the bird feeder, even though they didn't really need my help. It was the middle of summer. And the mess they made was just really disconcerting.
Yeah. It's kind of insulting.
Have you ever successfully grown the birdhouse gourds?
No, I have not. I've never tried, actually.
I just broadcast some seeds this year, and they didn't come up. But that was me just like willy nilly. But I really want some because, well, I mean, firstly, I've always wanted some, but secondly, Claire on Outlander had some in her garden. Yeah, God help me. God help me.
I just feel like I've heard that those birdhouse gourds, they take a lot of work. Once you've got that gourd, it's not done. You have to like drill a hole, dig around in there, get the inside out. It just sounds like a lot of work.
Sure.
And then you have to coat them in like polyurethane, right, to make them look decent. And then the polyurethane kind of wears off and it starts to look even worse and dark and moldy. I'm not sure I want to go there.
That's
it's a lot of work.
I have to say that Claire's on Outlander looked fantastic.
Well, yeah, she didn't make those.
But she had, a lot of late 1700s time on her hands.
She had a whole set crew.
That too. I'm trying not to get off on a gourd squash tangent, so I'm going to stick to the list. The next one's resin. So, I mean, we just can't even.
No. Oh my God.
It's brittle.
It's so gross.
It's never painted well.
It never looks real.
It's just
made in China. It's like every shiny thing in Plow and Hearth catalog. Oh,
yeah.
No. If it's resin, just put it back. That's
I
people are going to hate me the most for this, but oh my God, no.
I did get in quite a bit of trouble for writing an article about it.
Really?
A few
years
ago.
This is what I'm worried about.
I did. I got in a little bit of trouble.
Because everybody sells it and they probably make tons of money on it.
Yeah. I stand by my word. I would just hate to see garden centers rely on fairy gardening in the future.
Yeah.
Like, I just,
that's,
I don't know.
Gross.
I think it's, anyway.
The things that are resin, all I picture is the factory in China where they're extruding that stuff.
Can you keep saying extruding as often as possible?
I just picture rows and rows and rows of little fairy houses made of resin and people painting them. And then they go into and they get shipped to a nursery in the States. Yeah. And I'm like, ugh. Mass produced.
They're
grossness.
So brittle. When you open those boxes, like half of them are broken. It's like, what's the point?
And their colors are going to, the paint's going to fade.
Know.
It's going to look like crap after one season. Ugh. I'm just going to keep.
Give me a pile of bark and moss and.
Yeah, I'm just
going to
keep making that disgusted noise for the next 5 minutes. Ugh.
Will the next item on your list cheer you up a little bit? Teachers. Do you say
teachers? Yes.
Yeah.
I love them. Do you think everyone knows what a teacher is?
I don't know. You can
explain
it. Well,
it's more like a tripod, but aren't teachers more usually like four-legged? I don't think they have to be. I think they can be six-legged. They can be three-legged.
They have to be.
But they're big, self-supporting sort of, like, I don't know, three-dimensional trellises, right? Is that how you would say it?
Yeah. They're similar to an obelisk.
Yeah.
Are they different?
An obelisk is the round. No, an armillary is the round part on an obelisk.
Oh my God, I was going to ask you that, but I wanted to be really.
You know those the round things that are on top of towers that look like they should be a sundial, but they're really not because there's no markings and it's just sort of like there's a little arrow through them. That's an armillary.
Oh, Oh my God, you're so smart, Michelle.
No, so those are armillaries. I love armillaries.
Do you know of the Terra Trellis company? Okay, they make the coolest obelisks and tutures and all this stuff, and I really love their stuff. Maybe someday I will be able to afford one. Yep. The one that first caught my eye is, I'm on their site right now, the Acorus Garden Tutor. It's $3.99 and it is stunning. Neat. I mean, if I had $3.99 to throw at a tutor, I would, because this thing, it looks like it would just last for 100,000 years.
Is it metal or is it wood?
It's metal. Yeah. It is so metal. It not only is it metal, it's also metal. Like, it's that good. It's that really that good. They're the best trellises and tutors.
I'm not allowed to buy any metal tutors. Because
why?
I have a...
Oh, because you have a metal,
yeah,
metal man.
I have a husband who's a welder and a blacksmith, and I can't buy metal things if he can make them.
Oh, my heart just breaks for you, Michelle. My heart just breaks for you.
You know, for Mother's Day this year, he made me a tutor that's like 8 feet tall, I think. And it's really skinny and beautiful, and I love it so much. So, but I'm very lucky to have a very handy,
I'm not going to complain,
metalworking
for Mother's
guy.
I am really quite jealous, but you know that, of all of his skills and
help. He's got skills.
But I was going to say, I had to think, like, was this, I was going to be mean and say, oh, I think for Mother's Day, Dan maybe made a reservation at
a
restaurant.
That's really nice,
but,
too. Hey.
It didn't happen. This year, he made reservations for me to be at Disney World.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Well, I was speaking down there, so I was there, and he really helped the
That's
endeavor
awesome.
Because he would also like the freedom to go to Disney World without us. So I think it was very reciprocal. In that. Okay.
All right. So should we keep going?
Pot fountains?
Yeah, I have a pot fountain. I love my pot fountain.
So like, that's a fountain made out of a container?
But you know, we used to have the complicated pot fountain, which was a big reservoir dug into the ground, and then a grate on top of it with gravel on top of the grate, and then the container on that, and then
we call it a pondless
waterfall. No, it was like a pot on gravel, and it would just like cascade over the pot and down the sides of the pot into the gravel, into the reservoir underneath.
Oh,
and then
yes,
it would come back up and just cascade over the pot. But it was such a pain to take care of in a cold climate, because you got to break that whole thing down. By the time you break it down in the fall, it's just like scummy grossness, and then you have to like completely disassemble it, take it apart, and then in the spring work up the energy to put it back together, and it was just awful. But
so what do you
this
have now?
Year we have a huge pot that we just plugged up the bottom, stuck it in the middle of a bed, ran an extension cord over to it, put a pump in the bottom, and it just bubbles, and that's it. It doesn't cascade over the side. We filled it up with water, and it just bubbles at the top.
I much prefer
it's
that
so easy.
Over the thing with the water that goes over the side of the pots. Like I was like, kind of like, what is that supposed to be?
Yeah.
Like a pot that bubbles over.
It's a whole lot of trouble.
And down.
Is what it is.
Well, it also for me, that's an anxious. That almost, I'm like, that shouldn't be happening. Like that, you know, I mean, you and I know that it's supposed to be happening, but like something shouldn't be overflowing.
Right.
Like usually is overflowing
it would
bad.
Stress you out.
I am easily stressed out.
What was nice about it in the beginning of the season is that all the neighborhood dogs would come and just lick the pot to get some water.
Oh, that's so
It's really cute.
Cute
until it's been there for a while and it starts to get scummy, and then you start to worry about what they're drinking. And then it's stressful again.
That's so That's really gross.
And then it's stressful again. So yeah, it's not good.
So yeah, well, I guess in today's nightmare that we're living in, even just because it's recircling doesn't mean that it couldn't be forming blue green algae.
Yeah, I don't
it.
Know. Well, we don't get insects, we don't get mosquitoes, Mark, because the bubbler is always moving. So we've never gotten one mosquito from it. So that's good.
But you could be growing blue green algae, which is what is hurting dogs.
Oh, it is weird. I've never heard this.
Oh yeah. A couple dogs died last week, or 2 weeks ago in Austin, Texas, I believe, by going into a pond that did have a bubbler and didn't have any signs that said that there was any issues. And the dogs were and dead within an hour. I'm sure that we wanted to keep this podcast uplifting.
Yikes.
I did not go well.
Well, I wonder if, because one of my gardening friends puts a little bit of bleach in her fountains, and I wonder if that would take care of it.
I imagine that a little bit of bleach isn't lethal, but I know that a little bit of salt could probably do the same thing.
Huh.
A little bit of salt is the secret for our next thing, which I'm so glad you put on here. Ponds and waterfalls. Yep. A little bit of salt is a secret for keeping ponds algae free.
Really?
Just a little bit. Yeah, it's also really good for fish, for koi, but it's not great for your marginal
plants. Wait, how much salt per gallon?
I don't have that answer for you. There's a time in my professional career where I would have, but I really don't do that kind of jazz anymore.
That's interesting.
So it's very little, very, very little. So it doesn't damage the pump or anything, because that could be a reality, but very little salt. And basically you, what happens is you have a new pond and you get a little bit of algae in it and you put a little tiny bit of salt. And if your algae is still there, you put a tiny, tiny bit more. Then you put a tiny, tiny bit more until the algae is gone.
That's fascinating.
And then you know that that's your...
I've never heard of that.
It's real, and just a tiny bit of salt is great for koi too.
That's awesome.
It tends to fix them up too. But I'm saying it is the tiniest amount.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's just something you would think.
But you like
of.
Ponds.
Well, Michelle,
do you? Here you go. Here's my more pointed question. Do you like waterfalls from nowhere?
I said this to a customer this morning, and I started to get up on my soapbox, and I'm going to be unpopular when I say this. But firstly, I would like to see photos of ponds that are designed and installed by women, because I find those weird waterfalls that come out of nowhere and all the rocks in those ponds that come out of nowhere to be incredibly testosterone filled. There's just something weird about it. Like, dudes having a pissing contest over a pond and stones and moving stones around. It's not fun.
I have created water.
It's just a weird, like, I'm in control here type of thing. Like, I'm going to put a pond in my front yard because I said so.
I'm not sure I'm following you, but I'm trying.
I just find them to be weirdly masculine and weirdly placed and weirdly thought of. And I'm going to say that they're the lazy boy chair of home landscaping.
Yeah, I just don't understand the waterfalls that are just like coming from some random spot into a pond. I just don't get it. You know, if you want a waterfall,
and the rocks,
make it look artificial.
There's rocks everywhere. Like, I'm like, we live in Illinois. There are no rocks. I'm like, it looks like Colorado.
If you
right
want a
here.
Waterfall,
What's
make it
that?
Something a little more modern that looks like it's on purpose making something that's not supposed to be there.
Yes.
Because it never looks natural, ever.
It looks like a dude was having a great time with placing rocks with a loader. I forgot what I was going to say, but I'm sure it was very mean. I love the sound of water. I mean, I think that's really
important.
That's why
important. You need a pot fountain.
I think a pot fountain is perfect. And I've had a great time with, I bought a $20 pump on Amazon 4 years ago, and I forget to unplug it every year. And in March, I go in my backyard and I hear, and it's the dang pump.
It's still plugging.
Saying, I'm still alive. I'm a survivor.
And that's what's cool is it only takes $20 though.
And $20 over 4 years, and that this thing is just cranking. I want to see ponds that I've seen a few.
I have
a creek that runs.
I visited a gardener once in St. Paul, Minnesota, a wonderful gardener I hope we'll interview one day, who made a pond in his backyard that was sort of like a channel that went around his patio, and it looked like his patio was floating in water.
Oh, that's so
cool.
And
at the other side of the patio, there was a bigger rectangle area that was really deep that he had his fish in. But it just looked like the whole rectangular patio was floating in a pond just big enough for his patio. So
that is
really
cool.
It was like a very, linear 1 foot wide channel all the way around it. It was so cool.
That is genuinely cool.
It was great.
It reminds me, I used to want Do you remember when you go to the festival when you were a kid and there was that duck
yes,
game?
Yes, I saw it today.
It's a narrow channel with the ducks. I used to want the edging of my garden to be
the
ducks.
That would be so
and like
cool.
To actually have the ducks in there. It would be really great. I'm going to walk back some of my masculine pond bashing thing. There's a local guy who is a head honcho at Aquascape, which is, I mean, a testosterone pond central. And his backyard was the coolest pile of rocks, the best planned, the best thought out, the most groovy thing that really changed how I thought about all of this, because it's so well done. He has the resources to do it this well, but he just had a normal backyard, suburban backyard, and he built the big pile of rocks that was going to be the waterfall just tall enough to block out the back, the people that you'd see over the fence in the back. And he landscaped it just perfectly, so there's trees and stuff growing out of the mountain. And there's a waterfall coming down, and then he made a shallow little ankle-deep wading pond with pebbles on the right-hand side, which was perfect for when his children were tiny. That's adorable, nice, right? He made the steps going up so that they could play stage in that area, too, which is also very thoughtful. Like, this is just, you know... And then the other part, he made, like, an 8-foot-deep koi pond, and it's right up against his house, which is so... amazing and scary at the same time. And there's koi in there, but it's his kids can also, it's a swimming pond, the pool. So the kids can swim at the pool. So thoughtful, nice. So incredibly well done. I just don't see that kind of thoughtfulness.
That takes a lot of money.
And not only does it take I don't even care about how much money. It's just so thoughtful. Yeah. It was just so dang perfect. Mm-hmm. And it was maximized in this space where there's nothing else that you needed or nothing else that you'd want. And it was just really, really, it's just damn cool. But yes, you're right. A lot of money. Yeah. It's kind of out of the, but the average pile of rocks that you see in someone's backyard is underwhelming.
Not good.
Get a pot fountain.
I have seen pictures of somebody out in the Midwest who has those huge metal feeding troughs that I've always wanted to turn into a swimming pool, but Rob says it's way too trendy and we're not doing that and he won't take care of it.
Rob is wrong.
I know, they're so cool. They're like, they're so shallow. Why would we want to swim in that? I'm like, you just lounge around in it. We're not, you know, 15.
Or you fill it with salt and then you can float around it.
Exactly. They're so cool. But anyway, I saw somebody who had those as just huge water gardens, like in a yard.
And
it was just like there was gravel around it and little stepping stone paths and amazing plantings. And there were like lily pads floating in it. And it was super cool.
I love it. I had one. I have those feeder troughs. I had one that was empty and I was going to make it into a pond. But at the last minute, I wanted to grow more lettuce.
They make great planters.
And
those are great raised beds. They're so much easier and last longer than wooden raised beds.
They're going to last
but
forever.
But filling them up with soil takes a bit of effort.
They're still like as a gardener will, got a little exhausted near the end and didn't do such a great job.
You know, no one talks about that whole aspect of raised beds. We're going on a tangent now, but nobody talks about raised beds like that. They always say build a raised bed, and they're like, where do you get the soil for that
filling
raised
bed? Filling it will just kill you. Yes,
you're gonna buy bags of soil that'll take 50 million bags. You're gonna go to a local farm and get some manure. That's fine, but you gotta have a pickup truck.
You have to haul it. I recommend to my customers, get a raised bed, sure. Buy 3 or 4 bags of soil every time you go to the store. Don't do it during the summer. Don't do it when you have a deadline. Yeah. Just do it nice and slow because it will kill you.
No one talks about it, though.
No. Well, we're here to talk
raised
about
beds.
It.
They're so wonderful.
We're also here to talk shit about wind chimes.
Oh, you don't like wind chimes.
Dude, do you like
wind
chimes?
I like
big
wind chimes.
I can go for big wind chimes. I get big wind chimes. I like big wind chimes, but I also think wind chimes are very passive aggressive if you have neighbors.
That's true. But the bigger the wind chimes you have, the more wind you need.
I agree.
And the more wind you need, the less often it's going to chime and the more special it is.
I agree. I could really get into that, but I also...
But the little ones are horrible. Because they're constant.
Yeah,
it's constant.
I do... I have to say, I like a bamboo wind chime.
I don't know.
With that donk,
I've tried to like
donk,
them.
Donk.
I've tried to like them. I don't really like them.
they don't get loud enough that your neighbors could ever hear. Kind of flat. It's more of a donking than a dinging. Yeah, I'm kind of flat.
No, I don't like that sound. I want to. I really want to because it's a natural material, sustainable, but it's like blink, 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 blink. I don't know. I can't.
If you don't like it, you can compost it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Except for that nylon string it's used to string it together. No.
Yeah, I can compost that. Bottle trees? Do you have a bottle tree?
I don't have a bottle tree, but we once made one for my mother, and she loves it. But I feel like bottle trees, I don't know. It's like, if every bottle on the bottle tree is a memory of a wonderful night with a bottle of wine, that would be fine. But I think so many people have bottle trees, and they're like, I need some colorful bottles. I'm going to go on Amazon and buy a bunch of colorful bottles. And I don't know. I feel kind of conflicted about it.
What if you have a bottle tree and every bottle on the bottle tree is a bottle of wine that your friends drank and they saved the bottle for you?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's good. But nobody else is going to know that. So I don't know. I think this is, I'm kind of ambivalent about bottle trees. What do you think?
I understand. I tend to like a recycled product in the garden. I have a bottle tree. Didn't buy the bottle tree. Shauna Coronado gave it to me when she was moving, which is, you know, a story in its own. And I like it. I have an acre and a quarter I have so much that I could do. You know what I mean? I have like so much I can do. And I just have blue bottles on it. And my friends are drinking. I don't like light, sweet wine. I like heavy, mean wines. And so those light, sweet wines are usually the blue bottles. And they save them for me. And it makes me happy.
That's nice. If it's bottles that people have saved for you because they love you. I like that. That's good.
I think it's nice. When I read this list when you sent it over, I laughed for 30 minutes about shepherd's hooks.
I hate shepherd's hooks.
They
don't work.
I have hated shepherd's hooks. And then I also spend, like, how much time do you spend? Like, have you ever, like, sat down and figured out how much time you spend answering friends' gardening questions? Or you said you don't really get too many, right?
I don't get too many. No.
Okay. Like if I filled out a time card about all the things that I help people with, shepherd's hooks is a weird one. Like
people ask you about their shepherd's hooks?
I'll get 6 to 10 random requests in May about shepherd's hooks. So then I've gotten pretty good.
So people want them?
You know, deflecting them. Yeah, because people grew up with them. They think they need them or to hang anything, you know, just hanging. I have a couple in my yard, but don't hold on. They're not holding hanging baskets. They're not holding hanging baskets. I have 2 or 3 that are hanging big, big Asian bells, like big Asian bells. And they're green and they're in tall foliage where you don't see the shepherd's hooks at all.
Fine.
It just looks
that's
like
fine.
Bells.
They don't
there.
Have
I know
little outlines of birds in flight stuck to the top of them.
Hush your mouth.
Are they leaning at like 35 degree angles because they will never sit up straight?
Nope. I promise. I have a huge one hanging in the garden off my driveway. And it has like a big, I don't know how to explain it, like a wire, like a 3.5 foot long wire lantern.
Okay, that sounds cool too.
And it's sticking out of my porcupine grass. And it just looks like this cool aluminum wire lantern.
Well, I feel like these are not the shepherd's hooks you get at like Home Depot.
These are the shepherd's hooks you get at Lowe's
really?
On clearance at the end of the season, which everyone who is like in May, they're like, I want to buy a shepherd's hook. I'm like, it will be $25 at Home Depot. But if you just wait until September, you can get one for $9 at Lowe's. I don't know what Home Depot is doing. I'm more of a Lowe's kind of girl. But
the vast majority of the time, don't you think they look like crap?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I just think, I mean, I don't like hanging
baskets. Is your town like a crime center right now? What's going on?
Sorry about that. I live near a hospital.
Okay. That's the ambulance. Got it.
It's the ambulance. It's not, right. Also, I do live near a crime center. and sometimes, quite frequently, the coyotes, and not only do I live next to a hospital, but I also live next to a hospital in the woods. So it's just for like people who've been slashed in the woods. And the coyotes will sing when the ambulances go by. I also have a shepherd's hook in the middle of my lawn. And let me tell you what it has on it. It has a hand washing station for when I'm outside and I need to wash my hands really quickly.
See, what you're saying is that you like shepherd's hooks. And I should just go, like,
I don't like, what I'm saying is I like shepherd's hooks. I don't like hanging baskets really almost in any form. No. I know that's not true. I like you if you make your own in those cool like cones or something
They still look like crap by August.
Sure. But not if you fill them with like rubber ducks or like, I don't know, the hand washing stations.
That's cool. Fine.
I don't think I've ever needed, I would not need a hanging basket shepherd's hook combination in ever. And I try to reserve my judgment. So any friends who have asked me for help finding a shepherd's hook and I helped you find a shepherd's hook, remember that I love you. And
but Michelle disapproves.
I did help you find the shepherd's hook, and now I'm talking the smack about the
shepherd's hook. But you're not. You've been defending shepherd's hooks since I brought it up.
No, I hate them, especially the ones with the cutout, like the cutout the
bird
of the
flight.
Oh, stop me. Why? Stop me. I would hang a bird house from a
just hang it from
hook.
A tree.
Sometimes you don't have a tree. I don't have enough trees. I moved into a property with 13 dead ash
trees.
Don't
do it on the shepherd's hook. Those birds are going to get like motion sick.
All right, next.
Sundials.
I wouldn't know what to do.
I hate
sundials. I think you. How can you hate a sundial?
So
it's like I hate French
I'm
fries.
Like, have they adjusted it for daylight savings time? I don't know. So I don't know what time it is.
Oh my God! If I have anxiety from the pot that overflows with water, and you're like the sundial,
and you know it's never right because everything changes.
Nobody
unless
cares.
Somebody comes outside and adjusts it every day, and then you got to have a watch anyway. So why not just carry the watch?
I think you're making a huge assumption that someone has set it at
this
the right place.
This is a serious like window into my psyche. This little topic.
It is. The only place I really see them is at Botanic Gardens,
and you have to have sunny day.
You're so right.
They're
Man,
just so useless.
I just feel like someone just hit me
somebody...
with a frying pan in the face. If it's how are you going to tell time at night on the sundial?
You know, there's a reason why they invented wristwatches because the sundials are so damn inconvenient.
Sundials are the reason I have an Apple Watch. Okay, did we already talk about the armillaries?
Yeah, we talked about the armillaries. They're cool.
Okay. Art glass.
It depends on the art glass, right?
Like, are you Chihuly? Are you what? What are we talking?
At the risk of pissing people off, I'm so sick of Chihuly.
I am
too. God, it's everywhere. Everyone gets so excited.
And I respect him as an artist, but
he doesn't make the glass.
I know, but do you know? and I said that to someone, and someone set me straight. So now it's my job. He doesn't make the glass because he's physically unable after being in a debilitating accident.
I feel bad.
Not because he's like I'm. So right. He lost an eye and only has limited movement.
Oh God, now I feel really guilty.
Yeah, I did too. It's not because he's like a big famous artist and he needs other people to make him suffer him, which there's a lot of artists who are like that.
But I do feel like it's everywhere. I'm like, though when I see it in person, I'm like, yeah, it is pretty cool. Because when I went to New York Botanical Garden last year, I think, or the year before, they had a big, you know, display of it out in the garden and like boats in the pond. And it was really cool, but I've been to a lot of public gardens and I'm like, wow, here's another Chihuly exhibit.
He really hasn't restrained himself in any way.
No, he's flooded the market.
He is gone and gotten while the getting is
yes,
good.
I don't blame him.
No, I don't blame
him. Doesn't
mean
I'm going to make a special
buys
trip.
A lot of eye patches. Yeah. I don't know if I believe in art glass for your average homeowner.
No, I have a couple of little glass stakes that someone sent me years ago that are pretty beautiful, but they're pretty subtle, and a couple of them light up, and I like that. But I don't know. I'm okay with art glass.
I don't think I have any art glass, and I think that I probably
that was probably a weird one to put on the list.
No, I think it's a really good
towards the
one.
End of this list. I was kind of reaching.
I disagree. I thought that your list actually got better and it had dips and pops. It had waves of brilliance. So the next one, I already know that we both are huge fans of. Rusty metal.
Anything rusty metal, I'm all over it.
So you know how on Instagram you can follow a hashtag? I follow rust is my favorite
color.
Hashtag rust is my favorite color. And there's not a... Yeah, there's not a lot, but what's on there is really great. Yeah, I really love Rust, and I really love a tetanus shot.
I love rusty metal because I have a metal worker for a husband, and he makes me things, and I love them all, and they're all rusted.
He makes the coolest thing.
He made me a spinner that I absolutely love, and it's rusted, and my tripod is rusted.
Does it still spin? Yeah. Is it the one that was made out of the barrel hoops?
They're not really barrel hoops. They're just flat straps of steel, but they're kind of like barrel hoops. But yeah, I'll post a picture of it. I love it.
Ooh,
wow. Oh, wait. I know which one you're talking about. That's a different one. Yes, that was made with barrel hoops. Yeah. That one's sitting on top of a container way back in the bamboo. That one's awesome, too. But I'm talking about a different one that hangs.
I can't wait to see a photo. I'm sure I have already, but I probably had it confused.
It's very subtle, but I love it.
I have a really rusty glider, an old 40s glider. It's pink and white and the rust is showing. And everyone who comes over is like, you can get that painted. And no. I was like, no,
that's patina, and man.
I put carnauba wax on it so that it won't rust anymore. It's the rust is protected, but I love rust. I actually lost an apartment that I liked because I had some rusty chairs from the 40s. They weren't even that rusty.
They kicked you out for rusty chairs?
My landlord wouldn't allow us to put them on the patio.
What?
It was a huge patio. I'm like, I should be able to use the chairs of my choosing, sir. They weren't even really messed up. I still have them because they're awesome. Like, I could have probably gotten out the white spray paint and made them happy, but I really didn't see the
weird
point. I still haven't done anything with them. And I take a photograph of how they look now. This was 15 years ago.
Huh.
They don't look any different.
It sounds like he might have been a micromanager.
Yeah. He also, he would ask me every day when I was going to weed and when I had just finished weeding. And I should have known that was a problem. But one day I came home and he had ripped out the full-size lavender and sage plants and just put red mulch. He didn't understand perennials. So if they weren't blooming, they weren't plant. They weren't.
How did you survive here?
I left. And my kooky husband allowed me to be kooky, and we just packed up.
That is weird.
He was the worst.
Plus the red mulch. That's a crime.
Oh right. And he threw away my compost pile. He was evil.
All right. That's not
next.
Oh, yeah. Next.
Fish on sticks is different than fish sticks.
Yes. I like fish sticks.
And I have to say, not for me, the fish on sticks, but I have seen the fish on sticks done very well for other people.
I went to a garden in Napa, the town of Napa, not the surrounding beautiful hills. One of the best gardens I've ever been to, and they had fish on sticks in a huge, huge swath of Mexican feather grass. And let me tell you, it was awesome.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. Because
it just billows in the breeze and it looks like water, and it was great.
It's a statement, and you have to have a lot of grass and a lot of fish.
Yeah, it has to be grass, I think. You can't put anything else. It has to be like an ornamental grass.
They look good in Amsonia.
Oh, I would bet. That's close enough. Yeah.
Close enough. Fish on sticks, I think, it has to be used at the owner's discretion.
She's right. And there has to be a school of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Bird baths,
they're okay.
I can use like a blue glaze one. Yeah.
I don't really like the concrete ones.
I don't really like the concrete ones. I have a cobbled together glass and metal one in the backyard. I want birds to have moisture. I shouldn't have said that moisture. I want birds to have water, but I really don't. Bird baths are like a huge, what a lot of work.
You just have to clean them pretty often or they're just gross. And I have to say fountain, there was a branch like dipping into my pot fountain and the birds were having a blast. So I think you could kill two birds, keep two birds alive with one stone with a pot fountain.
I agree. I'm going to skip the lawn alligators because who knows what a lawn alligator is.
You're lucky you don't know.
Okay. Tell me
what
that
is. They're the ones. Okay.
Is it that one picture of the lawn alligators made out of tires?
No. They're probably resin. And they're like three pieces and the head sticking out and the belly sticking out and the tail sticking out. It's like it's partway underwater, but it's in the grass.
Oh, it sounds really Toscano.
Yes, it is. Let's move on.
It sounds terrible. Pink flamingos, of course, I like.
If you do them with a sense of humor, I like them.
I only do there things with a sense of humor.
But if you're doing it in all seriousness,
my ode to John Waters. Yeah, no, I would do it as an ode to John That's Waters. Fine. Garden
absolutely
flags?
Not.
Never.
Never. Mm-mm.
Nope. Nope. Regular flags, I've learned to like, because it's a thing that when you live in suburbia, you have to have a
That's
flag.
That's fine.
But it has to be the scale. Like, garden flags are too small and too. They're just the current version of garden. Of
Wait.
Geese.
So what do you thought? What are you talking about? You say garden flags.
Those little flags that you hang on a little thing and you hang it in your garden. It's like a pennant that hangs down from a little metal.
Oh, those. See, I was thinking the big ones that are like the size of an American flag, but they're not an American
flag.
Oh,
like that you change for like Valentine's Day and like, oh, I hate those two.
Oh, they're horrible. Okay, I hate both of those.
Now, I do have some kooky flags, and one of them might be a garden flag. I have like, right now we have a Ravenclaw because September 1st is back to Hogwarts.
That's fine. As long as you don't have like a big pot of like sunflowers in a pot on a flag.
I have a Hello Kitty one for Valentine's Day and a Hello Kitty one for Halloween.
I think it's just like pink flamingos. If you do it with a sense of humor, fine.
It's done, and they're big. They're 3x5.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
But you know, I bought one of a like a Pennsylvania Dutch hex distal thing.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm going too far. It was in at the thrift store in a bag for $3 with like 12 other garden flags.
Yep.
And I donated all those and just kept the one.
Oh, see, you like garden flags. You don't agree with me.
No, I hate garden flags. I remember writing, it was like my Facebook status at some point. It was like the day after Halloween and someone had put the Thanksgiving garden flag up, and I was like, I just wanted to break their windows.
Yeah, the seasonal holiday party garden flags. No,
someone who has that much time to be up on things, I just can't identify
a
with
a flag with Easter eggs on it. No,
right,
just
no,
don't
right.
do it
the day after you put that up. The day after St. Patrick's Day.
No,
get some other hobbies. Get some books on tape. Get some Audible books.
What about solar lanterns?
If they're paper, I'm okay with it.
What do you mean? Paper, though, they'll like melt in the rain, right?
No. Well, with the paper look.
Oh, yeah. Like that,
the Japanese, but made with the
nylon. That's cool. I like solar lanterns more now that they've actually more consistently been warm white light. But when they first came out, they would be that horrible, harsh white LED.
Yeah.
And I didn't like them. But now they're pretty cool. There's some pretty cool ones out there.
I agree. There's also some really bad ones.
Yeah, really bad ones. Related twinkle lights. I love twinkle lights. I'll put them everywhere.
I cannot do twinkle lights. I normally can, but there's something about the scale of this massive backyard that I can't do twinkle lights. Now, we did have those big globe, and Dan calls them Italian lights. I don't know if that's the right
thing. Yeah, we have those.
Thing. Yeah. We had those strung around our yard for a few years, and they were magical.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
And I would recommend, like that, like at the beginning of our show, where I was talking about how you can add things that are too small and it kind of ruins things.
Yeah.
Those big Italian lights are the opposite of
that.
They
make everything better.
They make everything better. They can take, you could just hang one over like a landfill and it would be like the happiest landfill on earth.
We have one right inside our arbor in our little courtyard. And when people walk in at night, they're like, that's the most magical little space ever.
It's magical.
And it's because of those lights. But you
it's
know
a
what?
Great
twinkle
way to
lights.
Money.
I don't usually use the Christmas lights as twinkle lights. What I found on Amazon, and it's amazing, is the little solar panel attached to a 100-foot long copper wire with tiny little seed lights on it.
Ooh,
and I put those everywhere, and they're really dim. They're just really subtle. They're not to light the way at all. They just look really wonderful. And we have it wrapped over another one of our arbors. And then I have this little sculptural, actually pretty big now, sculptural little boxwood that was in the shade forever. So it's very like structural. It's very spindly, and we have it wrapped up the limbs of that, and it's really wonderful. So those are the twinkle lights
photos.
I love. Yeah, those are the ones I absolutely love.
I love twinkle lights. I go to people's houses and say that they need twinkle lights all the time, which they're like, really? I just couldn't do them here because of the scale. Even though that sounds really charming, it's just not, I need big, big things here.
Well, I also think that when you try to use Christmas lights, I think they sell them for Christmas trees and they market them with, you know, small spaces between the lights. So it's like 3 inches between each light. And I think that's too close. It makes it look like a string. where I feel like I want Christmas lights that have one twinkle light every foot. So it's more subtle, and you can't find those. Everybody wants them packed really close.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the problem. You put up the twinkle lights and it just looks like a string of lights. But if you were able to take out every two or three lights and just spread them out, they look more natural.
Maybe that's your big invention.
Yeah, I know. It's a... No, thank you.
Well, gosh, this is like the longest podcast ever, so we probably should.
Oh, wait, can we bring one more topic up that I didn't put on the list? Yeah. I think I told you the other day. We have to add cherubs.
Cherubs, man. You know, I don't really see a lot of cherubs in gardens, but what about that, like, fairy reading a book?
Nope.
Have you seen that one?
Yep.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, that's just little overdone.
No, it's right there.
The first time
I
saw it, I thought it was really cute.
I just don't think we should be able to see the fairies.
You're going from this from a very scientific point of view.
Fairies should should be very secretive. I don't think they should just like lounge in your garden and read a book.
They shouldn't just put it all out there.
No,
like that.
They shouldn't. It's just waiting for disaster, man.
Did you talk about cherubs then?
Well, I just don't like them.
Okay, good enough.
Okay, we can move on.
Weekly question. What new plants did you grow this year that you loved, Michelle?
Okay, well, I already talked, I think, in episode one about the night phlox, but I have to bring it up again. I love the night phlox.
Yeah.
The Black Madras ornamental rice. Let's talk about that.
Holy crap. It's not only is it amazing, it's also like a problem solver. I planted it in a pot that didn't have drainage.
Exactly.
And it's magic. It's magic.
It's wonderful. I have it in a pot. This is the second year I've grown it, actually. And it is just the most wonderful thing ever. The color... And now, now it's starting
so easy.
To get the actual rice, and it's like chartreuse against the dark purple. It's so beautiful. So, yeah, everybody's got a container. They haven't gotten around to drilling a hole in. Just take it out, fill it with soil, then fill it with water, and then fill it with these seeds, and you'll love it.
Yep. Do you just throw the seeds in? I started mine and then planted them in the
I started mine ahead of time, but I don't know if it's really necessary. I feel like they would sprout pretty easily. So I feel like next year I just want to put them right in and see what happens.
But I also love the Roselle.
Oh, yeah. How big is yours now?
It's maybe 3 feet tall.
Yep.
It's not flowering yet. I'm hoping it happens.
You have to leave it there as long as humanly possible. It takes a really long season.
I started it a little late.
Yeah,
so
we did too.
We're hoping.
Still beautiful, though.
I think I should look it up before I say it. So you tell one before I bumble through this.
Well, I have a funny story about this one. It's a Sanguisorba, and I think it's called Lilac Squirrel. Ooh. And it has these fluffy, droopy, lavender flowers. But the funny thing is when I was in a nursery with a friend, we were wandering through the perennial department, and we both latched eyes on it at the same time. We're like, ooh, we got all excited, and we ran over to it, and we were like, just going crazy over these plants. And there was a woman about 10 feet away from us. She's like, oh, those are all sold. And we're like, what? She's like,
don't tell me that.
I know. She's like, I'm just kidding. I don't work here. You guys are just so excited.
Oh my God. That is the best story. I'm going to do that full time now.
We laughed so hard.
Hang out in garden centers. Oh my
and
God.
She just wandered away like she does it all the time.
I think I love her. I grew two great squashes this year, but I'm really excited. I think this is probably the only squash anyone needs.
Which one?
Tromboncino.
I feel like you mean the long one?
It's a zucchetta.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
It's a crookneck pumpkin.
That's
the higher classification.
It's kind of like a gourd almost.
Yeah, it says it's a zucchetta from Liguria, Italy.
Yeah, those are great.
And you pick them when they're babies. And here's the thing is that you go out there on Tuesday and there's nothing there. And on Wednesday, there's a baby.
Yeah.
And it's big enough to eat. Like it takes one day.
If you let them go, they get like 3 feet long.
They get 3 feet long in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
They'll get 3 feet long in 3 days once it's there.
Right.
And I have been cutting them into little coins and then broiling the heck out of them and putting a little bit of Parmesan cheese on them and eating them all summer long.
And they hold up better than regular summer squash.
They're
not as watery, right?
They also have been very, they are not as watery.
Yeah.
And they also have been very resistant to any borers, bugs, etc.
Nice.
So they, I think it's the only squash I really need. That being said, I did a lemon drop squash that Burpee sent me.
Yeah.
And that is one prolific mofo.
That looks really cool.
I can't keep up. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, one plant and it's putting on 4 new plants a day, every day.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get like fill the bathtub with these little, they're, you pick them when they're just a little smaller than a lemon.
Yep.
And they're so pleasant. And I just eat squash. Dan's joke is like, what did squash ever do to you, Amanda? I just eat squash now, like full-time squash eating.
Yeah, it's so good.
And I'm making squash browns and
I squash grate coins squash and... into meatloaf all the time. I'll just grate it.
Damn, I did not expect this podcast to be so helpful.
I just grate it right in there. Like I make meatloaf without bread crumbs. I just grate in a ton of squash.
That's so keto of you.
Yeah, exactly.
That is brilliant. I never thought of that. Does your family know that you do that?
Well, my daughter, the first time she saw me do it, got really mad. She's like, why are you ruining the meatloaf? She got very upset with me. She watched me do it. I'm like, I'm doing it. You're going to eat it. I'm going to do it and you're going to eat it. And then she ate it. And she's like, this is actually really good. So the other day I was doing it and she almost got mad. And then she remembered she really liked it. So now it's a staple.
I have to say tromboncino is a winner for me. And I, because, you know, it's so easy to have a zucchini take over your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't grow zucchini anymore. I just, I'm looking for something that I can swap out for that position. And I think tromboncino is the winner.
Yeah, next year I'm gonna grow a little tiny zucchini called piccolo, and it's Ooh. Little striped zucchinis, little round striped zucchinis. It sounds like your little lemon drop, but it's green and striped.
I like the stripes. Yeah. That's very
they're so Tim pretty Burton. They're very pretty.
I'm gonna want that. Did you grow anything that bombed today? I mean this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, it didn't really bomb, but you know that purple salvia that gets really big but has the deep, deep, like, purpley red blooms? It's pretty common in decent nurseries, but I have to say, I planted it, like, months ago, and it's just now starting to bloom, and I'm just annoyed. So, I feel like, I feel like that's a bomb for me. It's like, why were you just boring green for like 5 months and now you're just starting to bloom? So, I don't like that. But also, not its fault, but I tried to grow the striped japonica ornamental corn and the stupid squirrels, as soon as it would sprout, the squirrels eat it. As soon as it sprouts, they dig them all up and they eat the corn underneath. So, that was kind of a bomb.
That's similar for my bomb. I planted 2,400 sunflower seeds.
And how many did you get?
5.
What?
I have 5 sunflowers. Oh, no. And they're splendid. They're splendid. Oh. But I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, and it's not, I mean, it's squirrels. It's not anything else.
But doesn't it make you feel like a failure? Just when I try to, like, when I try to grow tomatoes, I just feel like a total failure because I can't do it. Everyone else can do it. I can't.
No, it doesn't make me feel like a total failure because everything else out there is just
awesome.
Crack-a-lackin'. Yeah. And my ornamental corn, I only had, like, I did one row of corn and I put my striped ones in first.
And then you did the glass gem, right?
The glass gem is really just blowing my mind.
Isn't it great?
It is beyond great because I thought I planted striped glass gem and then popcorn.
Yeah.
But really what I did was striped popcorn and then glass gem.
Yep.
So I ripped one of the open and it was just like white inside. And I was like, it didn't work. Ah, you know, like I failed. And then I found, then I was sleeping as these things happen, you know, I'm like one night I'm sleeping. I'm like, oh,
that's the popcorn.
Reverse it. And so I went out there the next morning and ripped it open and holy hell, yeah. I felt like I just grew a miracle.
It's so cool. But you know, my sister grew the popcorn and the glass gem corn right next to each other a couple of years ago. And she started picking ears from one end to the other. And the glass gem on the far end was really colorful and wonderful. She got to the middle. It was kind of in between. Then she got to the popcorn and it was popcorn. They were cross-pollinating. And in the middle,
I imagine that's true.
In the middle, and the ears were just like half popcorn, half colorful. It was weird.
Weird. Yeah. I did some black corn too. And Hazel and I are going to do an experiment at what color popcorn that's going to make.
Yeah. You know, the striped japonica corn, it gives you deep, deep, deep burgundy popcorn.
maybe that's what it is. Maybe I, okay. I mean, this is more about corn than anyone needs to know. The first few should have been striped japonica, but only one really turned out striped. Yeah. But the first three or four corn plants have really deep, deep, deep burgundy.
That might be the striped corn. Japonica. It just didn't get stripy enough. Is it in it a tiny stripy. Bit of shade?
Oh, no.
Interesting. Huh. I don't know what that's about.
Well, I mean, it's in like afternoon shade. It's in like after four shade.
I wonder if that made a difference. I wonder because I've never been able to grow it successfully.
One of them is gorgeous. One of them is gorgeous. Yeah. But I also had old seeds. And I know that I don't believe in old seeds being a big deal, but with corn, I do.
It is.
I do believe that. Yeah. Huh. This is the Earth's longest podcast. We're talking
How long have we?
We should go. Well, yeah. We have to edit a little bit out, but it's at 82 Ooh, minutes.
We should go.
Yeah, we should. So thanks for listening, everybody. Make sure to check out our Facebook page and leave us a review on either Facebook or iTunes.
Tell us what you think.
Only if it's nice. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.